Okay, so it seems that these chapters in Kings, you just gotta get the whole story. They're all chapter by chapter, so we'll go through this one, the whole 46 verses. This one's titled in 1 Kings 18, verses 1 to 46. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, "Art thou that, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah's here." And he said, "What have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God lives, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He's not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now you say, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find me, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, 'Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me.'" And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Are you he that troubles Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under," it says. But that's actually not there. I guess it's implied though, right? "And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleeps and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until time of the offering, the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that you have turned their back, their heart, back again. Pardon me. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab, one sec. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This section of the Book of Kings is a type and shadow story of how the elect, represented by Elijah, are going to put an end to Baal worship in the earth. It is through the judgments of God that must be in our earth today that God's elect will be made ready as the bride of Christ to rule and reign under our Lord. After we go unto perfection on the 3rd day, all of Adam must experience being born of water and of the Spirit in order to go on to perfection. And there is a specific time for every human who has ever lived to have these words of Christ fulfilled in their lives that represent these 2 stages of baptisms. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's not to say that there aren't many baptisms, seeing we die daily and are baptized into Christ's death every day. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, which is today. Because as he is, so are we in the world, born of water and of spirit. Of course, we have the spirit in earnest, it says in Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So, of course, that means that we're being baptized into Christ's death. That baptism is happening day by day. And he said unto them, go, you, and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. This verse in Luke 13:32 explains the active, ongoing way, which is what Philippians is made possible through Christ working in us, that God's people come out of Babylon through Christ in this life. The overall lesson for all of mankind is that without Christ's spirit within, we cannot be obedient unto his word and are none of his as a result. That's Romans 8:9. We say it this way, only Christ can be Christ. So that's really the verse that tells us that. It's God's work. He's our hope of glory within. We're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but we know it's the Lord working it in us, both to will and to do. And even if the earth is filled with God's truth and judgments, God's judgments, as it will be during the 1,000-year reign, this will not be the time when people are born again and living out lives that are going on to perfection on the third day. That process is reserved for the great white throne judgment, as I know we're all aware. Romans 8:9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's interesting because, you know, that refers to that trench that we're going to look at that's filled with water. The earth can be filled with the knowledge of God, but it doesn't mean that there's conversion in the earth. The seed is sitting on the top. That comes when the fiery trials come at the lake of fire. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Of course, that world is within, but without too, the powers and principalities that we wrestle against within and that come at us from without. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. To be given that faith to believe. Where is boasting at? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these things, including, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. We really are unprofitable servants and are nothing without Christ in us, our hope of glory. And that is the most hard lesson and ongoing lesson that God is continually showing the elect, but the world doesn't even, they can't see that yet, but they will see that one day, that we saw ourselves from that venue by the grace of God, even we wouldn't have. So the Lord puts us through our trials, keeps us humble, keeps us in that perspective of seeing ourselves for what we really are. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. were called onto that blessing, and in the resurrection, people would come, and that perspective has to grow and be understood. And that's why he says, see, you do it not. I'm your fellow servant. We are in the potter's hand, clay in his hands. That will say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, which we just read. It's all about God granting us the faith. And you stand by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. That's the best we can ask the Lord, to keep us in that place of having that godly fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So in other words, we need to never think that we're standing, because we're not. We're standing by the grace of God, and by the faith of Christ. And we should be confident in that, and we should rejoice. God is teaching the elect in this age that we have been called to learn obedience by the things we suffer, as we fill up what is behind of the afflictions of Christ through the power of God that makes it possible for us to acknowledge and keep the commandments of our Lord. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord, including acknowledging that this walk is a fiery walk, but it's one that's tempered with God's mercy and his strength. And he's doing that so that we continue to remember that it's the Lord doing the work through us. So we're blessed to have those trials that keep us in that place of being abased and not resisting God, having God resist us, because he resists the proud, but he gives his grace unto us, unto those who are being humbled in this life. If God's spirit is within us today, it will bear witness to this truth. In Romans 8:16, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And these words, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. These will be words that are a comfort to us, knowing that God is able to purify our heavens with his word that is likened unto fire. Christ has been given power over all heaven and earth as our hope of glory and author and finisher of our faith. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Bible is written for God's elect at this time. These words are for our encouragement. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Both to will and to do in our earth and in our heaven. In every instance of our life, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's doing that work. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that's the position God wants us to have, to know Christ is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, our former conversation, by the death of his son, we were reconciled, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So that introduction is a little longer than normal, but those verses will play into this study, and we'll see that at the end, that God has already written this out for our benefit, to give us peace, to give us consolation, to encourage us to get through the days that are before us. It came to pass after many days, verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1 to 4, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water. Obadiah's name means serving Jehovah, and we are told that he feared the Lord greatly. We are Christ's flesh and bones, and as such, if we are as he is in this world, we too will fear God greatly. As a result of Christ, our hope and glory within, even as we are in Ahab's house, typifying the world as his governor. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. God gives his spirit to those who obey him, also typified by Elijah going where he is told to go, so that I will send rain upon the earth. That obedience was not something that Elijah generated outside of God's will, which I used to believe. I used to think, well, if we're obedient, God will do that for us. If I do this and that, then no, we know that's not true. But rather was a type of those who experienced the liberty of being set free by the truth, by Christ. As we are dragged to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life within, our hope of glory, who gives us the ability to continue in the truth as his disciples indeed. And so he gives his spirit to those who he has predestinated to give his spirit, is what I'm saying. And that, of course, is all a work of God. But in Luke 22, 32, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, not if you might be converted, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So remember, he gives his spirit to those who obey him. But how do we come to obey him? How did Christ come to obey his Father? It's almost like a blasphemous statement. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. That's just the nature of the marred vessel that we're in. We have to have trials. We have to have tribulation. But God knows that, and he's merciful through it. And we help each other remember that. We comfort each other to get moving forward in that process. The symbolism is clear. The sore famine in Samaria, where our man of sin resides, represented by Ahab, is going to have Elijah come to him the third year, representing the process of spiritual completion through judgment. We're hidden in Christ through God's judgments that chasten and scourge us so that we forsake ungodliness and worldly lust. So we're hidden through those trials, which truth is witnessed in type by Obadiah, who took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Christ is the true witness within us, doing the works, and it is by grace through faith, represented by the 2 times 50 prophets hidden in the cave, who are fed by Obadiah, which means serving Jehovah, with bread and water, that we will overcome. Also symbolized in last week's study with the cruse of oil and the bread that was given to the widow by Elijah. Colossians 3, verses 3 to 5. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Teaching us, and see, this is the chastening part we are. Every son is received through chastening and scourging, but God determines who it is that he's going to crush under that stone. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we know what that means, because Christ didn't convert anyone, and as he is, so are we. We won't convert anyone during the thousand-year reign. But the point is, again, always going back, that only Christ can be Christ. That conversion of our eyes and our ears being open, of course, are the greater works that Christ is talking about here. And Ahab, 1 Kings 18, verses 5 to 8 now, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah's here. We've heard Mike say this many times, and it's the truth. There's only two men in the Bible being discussed, where one is trying to preserve the flesh, and the other is being dragged to Christ of the Father. In this instance, we see Ahab looking for grass in order to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts, which symbolizes our natural desire to want to hold on to our life and preserve it. Ahab and Obadiah go their separate ways in this endeavor to find fountains of water that represent God's Holy Spirit. And it is the man who fears God greatly, Obadiah, who meets the Lord's prophet Elijah, who typifies Christ, who has the whole stay of bread and water at his disposal. 1 Kings 18, 9 to 14. And he said, what have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God lives, there's no nation or king whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now you say, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. He shall slay me. Verse 10 is a witness to our flesh, Ahab, that we can be ever searching and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If God does not drag us to Christ, there's no nation or kingdom whether my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And that's where we are until the Lord shows mercy to us and opens our eyes and brings us into that understanding, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Obadiah is not demonstrating any faith in God here. What have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Even in knowing the miracle that Elijah had been hid from Ahab all these 3 years, pointing to his righteousnesses and declaring his many good works in hiding the prophets, so as to avoid doing what Elijah demands of him to go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. Like Jacob and Joseph's brothers in the book of Genesis, they also both had reason to be concerned because of the way Benjamin was being asked to be used as a bargaining chip of Joseph. Joseph's brothers are being told by their father Jacob that if he lets Benjamin go and mischief befall him, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Likewise, Obadiah continues to plead with Elijah to understand, or else he believes Ahab will slay him. Well, we know no such thing will happen to Obadiah. And Elijah assures him that he will go see Ahab the same day. In all of this, Obadiah is learning of his lack of faith and need to cry out to God to help him in his unbelief, which is the main lesson for us today. These things were written, of course, for us. Jacob, likewise comes to accept the fate put before him in regard to his youngest son, Benjamin, and says, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." Kind of like Thomas saying, you know, just let's go, let's get it over with. If it's going to go bad, let's just go. But he's a step further, because now he was seeing that this was of the Lord. He was saying, whatever the Lord's going to do, he's going to do. And that's what we have to have, that attitude. But with hope, knowing, as we'll see, this story gets brighter and brighter in that regard. So here's the story in Genesis that we're all familiar with. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, "Hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but you are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you shall traffic in the land." And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, "Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." These three sons, Joseph, Simeon, and Benjamin, again, the process of spiritual completion through judgment on our old man represented by Jacob. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, "Slay my two sons. If I bring him not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." And he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." So that's Genesis 42, verses 38. Now this is Genesis 43, verses 13 and 14. "Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the men, that you may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." It's so you see this process unfolding with Jacob, and this acceptance and coming to see, kind of like Christ saying, "Nevertheless, your will be done. Is there some other way? No, this is the way. It's a narrow way." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." 1 Kings 18, 15 to 20. "And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, 'Are you he that troubles Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." The truth is that we do trouble the Israel of God, who takes away our peace when we forsake the commandments of the Lord. And when we forsake the commands of the Lord, we are thou who hast followed Balaam. But it is also the accuser of the brethren who says to us, "Are you he that troubles Israel?" Elijah doesn't just stop at this point and walk away from Ahab's false accusations, but rather by the grace of God is used as an instrument of righteousness unto God to reveal who is right and who is wrong, showing us that we should never leave any doubt to our adversaries what our stance is in the Lord. And I mean, in the new covenant, Christ says, you know, nothing that's hidden that won't be exposed. And So God, everything will come out in the wash. God is not, nothing is going to, everything will be judged and God will make known. And that's how we're becoming white today, but the world will be white through that process of judgment. Neither, Romans 6:13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Galatians 6:14-16, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's that relationship that God's given us. We're in the world, not of the world, but we need to have that experience of evil that we overcome through Jesus Christ, and it perfects his life within us through the trials. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, while we're in the world, while we're in the flesh, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, all things having to do with the law, but a new creature, the new creature formed in Christ. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The contrast is drawn for us as God reveals the difference between Obadiah, who took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water, as opposed to this ungodly gathering of prophets, the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. These numbers reveal to us that the whole world lies in sin and is in need of judgment that will occur in the lake of fire, which is typified by the events that are going to unfold unto these false prophets. The 450 represents the judgment that is needed and will occur at the hand of God's prophet Elijah. And the 400 reveals that it is the whole of Babylon, the entire world that is deceived at this time by their father, the devil. Inwardly, this is true as well. We can only see because of Christ, who has opened up our eyes and taken away the spiritual blindness that is always there without God's grace and faith working in our lives. So he tells us to come out of her, my people. And of course, that's the miracle that we're experiencing as Christ drags us out of that blindness and brings us into the truth more and more deeply. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness in 1 John 5:19. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. John 9:41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. They didn't see the need for the physician, and God has called the elect to see that, to see our need to die daily, to acknowledge our absolute need for Christ in every breath we take. There is hope held out for all the world represented by Israel and all the false prophets of the world who are gathered to Mount Carmel, which is a fearful place for the flesh to be brought to, but a glorious place of plenty and fruitfulness that will come about as a result of God's judgments upon all of humanity that is being typified for us in this story. Revelation 19:20, verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, just like these prophets are going to experience. In type and shadow, of course, it's not the lake of fire at that time, but it is showing us that God's judgment is being typified for us at that time to show us, of course, what God has to do to our old man. It's always to be taken and understood first and foremost what God has to do to me in order to move me forward in by the grace and faith of Christ. Revelation 20:10, and the devil deceived them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And we know, of course, that's ages to the ages. It's aeon, the aeon of the aeons. The word Carmel, where they're brought there, is the same as H 3759, which if we look at there in H3754, planted field, garden, orchard, vineyard, fruitful field. So it's a place of plenty and it's a productive place spiritually. 1 Kings 18, verses 21 to 24, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You know, that's the divided mind that Satan wants us to have, and we have to overcome that. We have to ask the Lord to help us to have that singleness of mind. That's what makes us a healthy body. We have to think the same thing, see the same thing, and have the same goal. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So there's a negative way to answer by fire and a positive way. One represents the false doctrines, the powers and principalities, that Christ is far higher than, that first fill our heavens until Christ comes into those heavens and destroys those lies with the brightness of his coming. Those false doctrines are also like an under strange fire in God's word that represent the lies of the devil that deceive the world. That's in Leviticus 10:1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. The two opinions that we halt between that Elijah talks about are the truth of God's word and the lies of the devil, the powers and principalities that we wrestle against. And so Elijah asks the question, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Both sacrifices in the story are going to be prepared like the lamps of the foolish and wise virgins in this parable of Matthew 25. Both sacrifices come from the prophets of Baal. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, is what it says, which tells us we come out of Babylon, and then Christ, who is typified by Elijah, gives us the wisdom to know how to prepare the sacrifice to the glory of God. The preparation of the sacrifice is of no value to God if it is not offered with an obedient spirit. We know the story of Saul taking the bringing back things that he wasn't supposed to bring, and he disobeyed God. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. He was disobeying God. So there was no obedient spirit there. And the prophets of Baal did not have that spirit either. And therefore, when they called upon their God, nothing happened, as opposed to Elijah, who feared God and was heard, and then he feared him. Now the 1 Kings 18, 25 to 29. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleeps and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offerings of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. This section really defines Babylon, that is ever searching and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's no stay of bread or water being given to them. And so their pursuit of truth is in vain and manifests in all sorts of ungodly ways as they try to take the kingdom by violent force in their flesh, showing us what we did before we were called out of Babylon and given eyes to see and ears to hear, which make it possible for us to worship God in spirit and in truth. We all at first dress and prepare that sacrifice according to the idol of our own hearts, which is being shown in this story. The end result is that our man of sin must be destroyed in order to become that new creature that can worship God in holiness, in spirit and truth, in other words. The fruit of our efforts in Babylon is where the wisdom of man is manifest, rather than the power of God. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. The time of the offering means the appointed time that we are heard of God, the day of visitation, and there is no recognizing that visitation happening here, described for us with the words, neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded, simply because God, as we said earlier, resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verses 30 to 35. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and then he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. These actions of Elijah are typical of what the body of Christ is going to show the world through our relationship with Christ, where we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar, which is the cross. Our discipleship is witnessed to the world through our obedience and the orderly way that we conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. The spirit of submitting to God, even as we resist the devil so that he will flee from us, is what demonstrates God's love is being shed abroad in our hearts. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And that's a gift from God. God sheds that love abroad in our hearts, and he receives us, like we've been saying, through the chastening and the scourging, but that is how his love is fashioned within us, because then we cease from sinning, and we grow in our obedience and in our relationship with our Lord and our Father. The language used in all that takes place in offering this sacrifice is for our sakes, and is typical of how the body of Christ is offered unto God through Christ, through whom we are accepted, as he works in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, which is to give us the kingdom. The order consists of putting the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And this is repeated 3 times, as it represents, again, the process of spiritual completion through judgment that we are going through. God's elect, like Elijah in type, are going to restore true worship to this world, symbolized by, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And verse 31 shows us the Israel of God, who we are, that is going to do this through Christ. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. The trench that is made round about the altar symbolizes our deeply dug foundation in the word of God, accomplished to the glory of God, and is needful in order to see the Abrahamic promises of all nations becoming ours through Christ. And so it is worded this way as a witness to that fact. he made a trench, and we're going to look at that word, about the altar. And I didn't know this, Gail, this word, I never even thought to check the word. He made a trench round about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And if you be Christ, Galatians 3:29, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The word trench there is tela, and from page 59:27, into which water is raised for irrigation, a channel. And that's what we are. We're the channel for God's grace and mercy that will be shown to the world. A band-aid or a plaster. We're going to heal the world through Jesus Christ. We're going to go out and we're going to heal the sins of the world. We're going to be used of the Lord to be saviors. A conduit, healing, there it is, little river, trench, watercourse, all of those positive words telling us what the body of Christ will be, those living waters that will be sent forth to the glory of God. Verses 36 to 38. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. The big moment has arrived. Elijah gives all glory to God and brings to our remembrance that all that we've given to God was given from him and must be done obediently and in order because of his mercy toward him and us. These words tell us just that. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. The 24 elders fall down before him. This is saying the same thing. That sat on the throne and worshiped him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. As a result of that obedience and doing all things decently and in order, Elijah is heard, and he is not drawing the attention to himself, but pleading with God that Israel may see that he is God, who is greatly to be feared and worshiped. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Everything is consumed by the fire of the Lord, leaving us no doubt that God is going to burn every idol of our heart up and finish the work of faith within us with great heat that will consume our old man as we go without the camp with our Lord where these things occur. The fire is symbolic of God's word, and it is when we are granted the faith and obedient spirit to follow Christ that this statement, which is the title of the study, will apply to us. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, which is what we want. We want that new root and that new branch to be Christ, of course, and his Christ. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, it's going to happen. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We set our eyes on the joy set before us. Verses 39 to 41. And when all the people saw, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Just like when the two witnesses are raised in all the world, there's an earthquake, and then people start glorifying God because they realize something's happened here. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. All the people fell on their faces and said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Which is what the world will do when Christ and his Christ come on the scene in the first resurrection. And when God's judgments are in the earth, men will learn righteousness, which is symbolized by Elijah telling Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Our commission will be to make straight the ways of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And the start of that process will be the putting away of all the false doctrines of mankind, symbolized by the slaying of the prophets of Baal at the brook Kishron. That means windy, crooked, and to set a trap. Let not one of them escape. Means that not one false doctrine is going to be allowed to be propagated during the thousand-year reign. This is all a baptism with water and a rule of iron situation that does not bring about conversion, but it is the natural events that must precede the spiritual cleansing that will take place in the lake of fire. Verses 42 to 46, and so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This last section is just glorious. Listen to the promise and the complete process that must happen and will happen by the hand of God that will bring truth to each man in his order. Elijah is again on Mount Carmel, which means fruitful. He represents Christ telling us to look toward the sea, the world, and recognize this is the other fold that Christ talked about, that will be saved after we have gone through this complete process of seven times that will conclude in the great white throne judgment that will have been made ready, that we will have been made ready to administer because of our interaction with the world. And said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, which, by the way, going again seven times, this is the Lord telling us, in your patience, possess your soul. We are going to get there. The Lord is going to get us there, but we have to know there's a process. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The bride will be made ready to do this. And we are told to not let the trials and tribulations that must be many stop us from reaching this goal. Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. We start off running with men, but God says, as the elect, we will run with horses. And so we are learning that it is God alone who gives the body of Christ the strength in order to get the job done. So he challenges us. He gives us these great challenges to show us that we are more than conquerors through Christ, not to discourage us, but to give evidence to ourselves and to the world one day that we are a peculiar people, zealous of good works, because Christ is working in us. So where was I? God alone who gives the body of Christ the strength in order to get the job done as we ride through this life and overcome through Christ all the storms that he raises and brings our way. The heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We are truly unprofitable servants who have done that which was expected of us, because it's Christ working in us, both to will and to do. And we have great reason to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, as God fills us with an earnest expectation of better things to come. We praise and thank our great Father now for giving us the vision we need through the body of Christ to hold on to the blessings that we've been called on to enter into Jezreel before Ahab, who represents all the world who will be saved at an appointed time after the elect are first saved. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are manifest first as first fruits, God willing. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And like we said earlier, it's God loved us first, and it's his love working within us, and we love one another by keeping the commandments of God. But it's God doing that too, giving us the conviction and the strength to continue on in faith. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And there's the word Jezreel. It means God will sow, the name of two places in Palestine. From H2232, a primitive root, to sow, to plant, to fruitify, bear, conceive seed, thinking back to that trench, you know, to sow, to yield. So it's such a hopeful story filled with, you know, when you first read this story, boy, everyone's getting killed, and it's just dire for the flesh. But if we see the bigger picture and God gives us to do that, then we see the tremendous hope for all of mankind in this story, and the privilege and honor that is ours to know God now and to be able to see these things with the mind of Christ. So that's our study. Hope you're all blessed by that.